So we're going to take a look in the book of Acts, chapter 9 tonight. And this is an interesting section in God's Word because it deals with a gentleman that was perhaps the greatest enemy against the things of the true God. And lo and behold, his life got totally changed and turned around in this record that is in chapter 9 in the book of Acts here. So let's take a look at it here, chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, and he's talking about this way being the way of our Lord Jesus Christ, this new Christian movement. So he wanted to get the believers, these new Christian believers. He had a dedicated mind to turn them in, to get rid of them. And so he went to the high priest to get authorization, to get a bunch of them, and he wanted to go up to Damascus to do it. So he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he might find any of this way, whether they were men or women. I think it's unique that this is stipulated like this, men or women. I mean, many times the Bible just kind of men, and you kind of figure the women probably were involved too, but here it delineates men and women. I mean, he's going for it, no matter who you are, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, to travel from Jerusalem, I think he must have been in Jerusalem. It really doesn't say, does it, where he was. But I would think he was in Jerusalem. And even if he was in Galilee, it's still quite a trip to go to Damascus. So he's on this trip for probably a week or two. So think about that as we look at this record, that here he's traveling. He's day after day, they're getting closer and closer. And the record talks about when they were close or near Damascus, something happened. And the record in verse 3 says, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him. Now, you know, light does not have, you know, punch you or push you or anything else like that, does it? But this light came from heaven and it shook him so much that he fell out of his horse. Maybe he wasn't on a horse, I don't know.
A camel,
all right? Whatever. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice. Not only was this light shining around him, but he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Whoa. Now, what would you do if you heard, you know, some light blinded you, and you got shook up, and then this voice billows out with your name? What in the heck are you doing? And he, oh my goodness. And he said, who art thou, Lord? So Paul, you know, he grabs his mind and he's going, who art thou, Lord? So that he would recognize something of authority just spoke to him. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, a couple things here. Jesus Christ, we know, died, was raised from the dead, 40 days and on the earth, right, in his resurrected body. He ascended up into heaven, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have Pentecost and the Christian church. But Jesus Christ, pretty flexible, he came down to earth, and he was at the right hand of the Father, we know that. And wherever that is, to coming down to the earth, here he was. Here he was talking in voice to this guy Saul. And he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what does that mean? What is he talking about? And what this indicates is a situation that was unique in those days, perhaps we're not familiar with this, was when they had the animals and they were plowing or moving along, they would, if you wanted to get them going, they would prick them, okay? And if they were out of order or anything, they would get pricks. Yeah. And so that's what he was referring to here. You know, here, the movement of the word, new believers, born again ones, moving out. And here, Saul trying to do all he can to stop the movement. Jesus said, you're not gonna do it. It's hard for you kick against the pricks. Mm-hmm. And that's what the animals would do as they were being pricked.
Mm-hmm.
The goads, yeah. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished, okay? He's trembling. I mean, think of the emotion going on here. This guy, he hated Christians and believers, and yet all of a sudden, the leader of the gang here is telling him, hey, what are you doing? And he's all nervous, he's upset, he's trembling, and he's astonished. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? So what happened in this guy's mind to all of a sudden be totally against this Christian movement and then recognize that there is a Lord and Savior, and that what is really going on is of the true God? Yeah, at some point, something happened to his life. And you've got to think about his experience as he put people in jail and he persecuted the Christians. He must have admired, I got to think he had to, their resilience to the persecution, and how they still took a stand against him persecuting them. And now he has a change of heart. And so it says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So obviously he wasn't by himself. He was with a group of people, and they heard that voice, but they couldn't see who it was. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I bet he was a mess. He was freaked out for this to happen to him, for somebody to have to, you know, here he was some real hard-charging man's man, and now he has to be led about by somebody else. He couldn't see. He didn't drink or eat for 3 days. Well, verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And this disciple is a regular believer. It wasn't an apostle. It wasn't some special person in the body of Christ. It was just a wonderful believer, a disciple. And his name was Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. So God gave this man, this disciple, a vision. Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, what would you do if the Lord called out your name? He said, Shati, are you here?
Yes.
And this must have been a wonderful disciple, because he responded, yes, Lord. Behold, I'm right here. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he, what?
Praying.
He's praying. I mean, that's kind of neat to know that this is where his head was at. And has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So God was giving Saul this vision of this guy Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him to receive his sight. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. I mean, you know where he's going with this, don't you? Ananias said, you want me to, this guy, he's a mafia believer. He's a bad guy. No way do we want to help him. So, I think it's really funny how this conversation goes on. So, he said, he's done a lot of evil to the saints in Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Wow. Not only did he receive his sight, but he had this great reality that we enjoy, having Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So here he was, a whole new man, different man. Instead of being number one enemy, he was the number one new believer on the block. And they evidently were working with him. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He got excited. Now Saul was a Pharisee, and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a famous teacher of Pharisees, and so he was very bright, very knowledgeable, very dedicated. Now he was working for the true Lord, for God Almighty and our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So He jumped right into it. He didn't hold back. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving this is very Christ. Wow, he got right into it. He didn't hold back. He really started working his ministry. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying in wait was known to Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. I mean, now he was number one enemy to the Jews. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, the Gentiles. But they went about to what? They wanted to kill him, flay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now, Caesarea is down on the coast from the hills. Jerusalem is up in the hills. It's about, I'm going to say, 30 miles from the coast, up in the hills, maybe 3,000-4,000 feet elevation. And they'd send him down to Caesarea, which is a seaport in those days. And they were going to send him up to Tarsus. Then, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear, the reverence of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. And that kind of ends that record about Paul. And we're going to stop there, and we'll finish this latter half probably next week, and which is a great story involving Peter. But Paul goes on to be the great apostle Paul that wrote the church epistles. Galatians is a record that if you want to find out a little bit more about his life and ministry and what he did, Galatians chapter 1, verse 12 through 24, gives a little more background, because he did at one point, he went into Arabia, and I'm not positive when that was, but if it was before he went back to Jerusalem, I'm not sure, but there was a time early on in his ministry that he went into Arabia, he returned to Damascus, and then 3 years later to Jerusalem, as the record says in Galatians. So, and he sees Peter and meets with him for a brief period of time. So, and then later on, 14 years later, he ends up in Jerusalem again. But the rest of the book of Acts, there's more about Peter in this particular chapter 9 and 10, but then as we get in going through the book of Acts, we see a lot of the records refer to Paul and his ministry. So it's kind of interesting to see what happened to this man, Saul, who became Paul and became the great apostle Paul, wrote the church epistles and some of the other epistles to the believers. So pretty neat, huh? Anybody, there's nobody, you can't write off anybody that will be a believer. You know, I know sometimes we'll see some guy that's out to lunch, oh, he'll never be a believer. You can't write him off. You never know, because Paul was probably the last one in the world you would ever think would become a believer. And yet here he becomes a great believer. So, a good lesson, huh? Yeah. So, Father, thank you that we can see these accounts in your word that show your love, your care, your working with people. Obviously, he had a hungry heart to really know you, the true God, and that you would work through his situation to save him and to bring him about so that he could do the mighty work that he ended up doing. So we're grateful to see these records and that we can learn from them and just continue to see your love and grace as you work with the believers. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.